especially in the Napster era of my youth.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some choose to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
Hello and welcome to So What Do We Do? A podcast that's like a 24-hour news channel if 23 of the hours were nerds talking about dogs.
I'm Storm, here to hold your hand as we stare into the abyss.
I'm Angela, here to help you do something even though you just want to cry into a pillow.
Good. I think we've set the tone well for this week's episode.
Oh, boy. How you doing today, Storm?
I'm all right. Lot going on. A lot of abyss staring happening. But it's pretty good. You have been, it seems to me, on a tear. You moved to L.A. and you're getting involved with stuff. I don't know how your job search is going, but it at least seems like you're keeping busy.
Yeah, very busy. This week especially is real busy. I got... I'm on a sort of team at the I.O., the former Improv Olympic, and I get to write sketches, so I had to stay up all night writing comedy sketches, which was awesome, that are actually maybe going to be on a stage. That's so exciting. I'm taking a how to record music class today. Just so many things. Just trying to do everything that I can.
No, you're doing the thing, you know? You're doing the thing, and that's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you. You're doing stuff, too. I know, because I get your emails.
Yes.
I'm excited. I'm excited about the stuff you're making.
Yes. Thank you for your help on the thing. So a lot of tinkering and calculating is going to be happening in Casa Storm. But, yeah, it's exciting times.
Yeah.
For sure. Do you want to jump right into the news? Because that's exciting in its own way.
It is. Yeah, I want to. I'm mid coffee. I had my bowl of pumpkin spice Cheerios before I had my coffee, so I'm like a little bit.
Yeah, I getcha.
Riding the tired wave right now, but I'm ready. Okay, here we go. Ready, energy. We're gonna do energy in 3, 2, 1. Storm, tell me about the news. Let's do
it. You bet, Angelazer. This time around, I want to know beforehand what our offsets are going to be, just so, you know, we're heading into this with a carrot at the end of the stick.
Sure. This week, for our offsets, I come up with a list of things you can do in 1 hour to feel like you've done something.
I love it. Now, these things you can do in 1 hour that you've actually done something or just so you can feel you've done something?
Oh, you absolutely have done something. Oh, is how it feels.
Even better.
I feel like there are hours that I spend with a TV on, looking at my phone, where I think I'm like working, but I'm just taking a break. But then I remember that if I take a break and accomplish even something small during the break, I will feel so much more rejuvenated than if I just sat still and looked at people being sad on the internet.
I love it. And that's great, because this has already given me a better mindset as we head into the abyss.
Great.
The first one's actually, I wouldn't say it's good news, but it doesn't suck. And,
okay.
And this is the thing that I think we emphasized heavily last week. The heading is zombie healthcare. Yes, the ACA repeal has been beaten back again, probably, for now. So there are a lot of asterisks with this one. But the big news is that Graham Cassidy bill did not gain enough support to pass, and this is just the latest iteration of the "we're going to take healthcare and give it back a tax break to the wealthy" thing. It's not likely going away soon or ever. It's a top priority, not just of the, not even just the far right, but the right, and most especially the big money that is really supporting the Republicans, the Koch brothers in particular. And word is that they've been a bit more cautious with their dollars. They're penalizing the Republicans right now for not getting this passed, not making the donations that they normally would. So all the better for why we need to continue to keep the pressure up on it. But at least for now, it seems like it's not under imminent threat. But at any second, it can kick in, and those phone calls and faxes and everything you can do will become very important. So that's the first block.
Good work, everybody.
Yeah.
Keep vigilant. Ever vigilant.
So do we want to uncork an hour's worth of do good, or do we want to move on? I have one, two, three other, three other little blocks of news.
Sure. Let's do it. So these are just little things that I thought would be a fun activity you could do by yourself that maybe would entertain yourself or others. And the first one is write a 2-paragraph email to an old friend.
Now,
so you're just sitting there. You can be like, I remember Janie and how we used to go down to the river and throw bottle caps at frogs.
You knew her. You knew her too.
Yeah, she loved frogs and bottle caps.
Yes, God, she's the best. I haven't talked to her in years.
Well, I think you should write her an email. You could pull it up. I mean, what are the things that you wish you could say to Janie right now?
I would want to catch up on the latest bottle caps, because there have been a lot of developments in the bottle cap world, and I'm still passionate about that. And you know, and I just wonder where we lost it. Where, you know, life happens, and we had such a great bond.
Yeah, not so much like a guilt about why aren't we still friends, but maybe like, I saw this article about bottle caps and it reminded me about you.
Oh, yeah.
How's the bottle cap life? I just want you to know I'm thinking about you and I think you're great and I cherish our memories.
That's fantastic. You know, I admire that. maybe most people do this, but how effortless it is for you to find reasons to contact people and realize that's a good thing to do. So that's
it is. You feel good when you get an email you don't expect. So,
well, I'm gonna,
it's not spam.
That's going on my personal to-do list. Thank you, Angelazer.
Yay.
You ready for something a little more terrible?
Yeah.
All right. Putting these two little items under not so casual racism, and I'd be surprised if anyone hasn't heard about this, because it's been the big to-do over the past few days. And I'm going to conflate, like I like to do. And they are the whole respect the flag and you nasty football and basketball players shouldn't be kneeling that Trump has been going on. And I'm pairing that with the lack of response to the devastation in Puerto Rico. And to me, it fits the pattern of, and to a lot of other people, to the pattern of really hardly even veiled racist attitudes or bigoted, however you want to term it. But the idea that if you are a black person, that you are held to the standard where you can't express yourself without being seen as somehow unpatriotic, not falling in line, because this is a double standard of Trump's in particular, but in the right in general. You know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., he refused to toe the line on that. Is Trump out denouncing him? No, he's not. And that's just a one, for instance. And then same thing with Puerto Rico. I would be surprised if Trump even knew that it was part of the United States. People who are born and live in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens. That's not a gray area right there. And there's a whole history to that should be gotten into, but we don't have time for right now. But I think that's one of the things that is going to need to be reckoned with, is they are part of the United States. They're part of this country's responsibility to the people that live there. And we haven't met that. And just you contrast the attention given to Florida and Texas, which deserve that attention, because those are horrible disasters, just as that attention was deserved in New Orleans and New York when they were hit and was not always given, to what's going on with Puerto Rico, and that Trump's answer to that has been, well, you defaulted on your loans. Like, what is that?
Jeez.
And I think it comes down to if you want to call it racism or cultural, it's white supremacy, whatever it is, that people in Puerto Rico do not, in Trump's and others' eyes, have the full rights of citizenship, but they are the other, and they should be happy with what they get, just as the basketball players and football players should know their place. So that's a thing that's happening, and a little of my personal opinion on the context of it.
Yeah, no, it's really annoying. Put it lightly.
Yeah.
It's like, this horrible thing is happening in our country, and he's just tweeting about how he hates football. Okay, cool. Like, great. This is awesome. I'm so happy that this is what you care about.
Yeah, yeah.
President.
And, you know, I don't know how you feel. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it is a distraction in that these things seem to crop up when bigger problems for the administration come along, but they're real. So it's hard to...
Yeah, I mean, at best, it's a strategic distraction. At worst, it's just he's literally cares more about a thing that literally isn't hurting anybody than a thing that is hurting a bunch of people.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, that mm-hmm. it may be all of these things, but for certain, those attitudes and their effects on real human lives is real. So what can we do inside of an hour that would make us feel good and improve the lives of others and make ourselves feel good?
I'm going to give you two, because that thing you gave me reminded me of one thing, which is that Sprinkles Cupcakes posted a picture supporting the football folks who are taking a knee.
Yeah.
And they got a bunch of hate for it on the internet. And Paul F. Tompkins retweeted it like, I'm going to eat these cupcakes all the time. And I realized I could go eat those cupcakes today. And I'm really excited to have an excuse to eat a cupcake. Oh, boy. I'm a first world girl. But so two things. First of all, you can go on the internet and find some local art or something that you can support. I'm going to go get a Sprinkles cupcake today while going to see Bren talk about his new board game. So there are just so many, there are events happening all the time, but if you don't like sit down and make yourself look at a plan, sometimes mm-hmm. it can feel overwhelming. So I like to just RSVP to everything on Facebook yeah. that happens, that anybody RSVPs to, and then like if in the morning I'm like, oh, it looks like I'm going to have time this evening, I'll go through and see what I can actually do this evening. Because going out and being there for people who have made something and are standing on a stage with it is good. And the other thing I wanted to say, if you want to make your own cupcakes, like I always think I'm going to make food, but never, I'm like, I end up at the grocery store like, I guess I should get things for a recipe, but I don't even know what it is. Maybe you could read a recipe on the internet and make a shopping list before you go to the store. What would you want to make, Storm, if you had a whole hour to prepare before you go to the store?
I've been really on and off into bread, different types of bread lately.
Oh, that's right.
So I'd say there are a number of breads that are our breads. They often might require some attention for as long as, you know, a 2-day period on and off. But I would say,
yeah.
Explore the world of bread. That's for me. Yeah.
I learned how to make a bread in college. I only know how to make one. I don't know how to make basically any food. But there was one loaf of bread that my roommate used to make, and I learned how to make it, and I was like, wow, I am amazing. Bread. And it feels so cool.
When you have successfully made any bread, the simplest bread, you're a wizard. Like, you step back and you say, oh my gosh, almost all bread is made from the same 3 or 4 ingredients, flour, water, yeast, or not yeast, and other bits of stuff. And that it's like the variety of life that's out there. You can take those same ingredients and just depending on how you mix it, how much of it, get extraordinarily different results. So it's not even dark magic. Sometimes it's dark magic if it's rye. But just plain old,
pumpernickel.
Sure. Nice, hearty. Hearty bread with all kinds of flowers in it. But yes, I think that's a fantastic thing to do, both the bread, the cupcakes, and most especially checking out and supporting people who are doing cool and interesting stuff, because, you know, that's good for everybody.
Sure is.
Unless you're like a Nazi. Don't support Nazi stuff.
No, don't do that. No, that would not be good. That would not be amazing. Storm. I'm ready for another news.
This one, it's kind of developing right now, and it's something that I think has sort of slipped under the radar, is the travel ban continues to limp along, the Muslim ban. Mm. It's been, much like the healthcare thing, it keeps reappearing in a new zombie Frankenstein way. And what they've done now is made it much more narrow. It still has primarily these Muslim countries, but they've added Venezuela and North Korea to it to give it this sheen of, oh, this really is about security. And I asked myself this morning, is this unusual? I mean, isn't it reasonable that you, a country might say, you know, we don't want people from North Korea coming here? Absolutely. A ban on that, because that's the enemy, or however you want to phrase it. My answer was no, with an asterisk. Like, absolutely, if there is someone coming from North Korea, a government should be pretty darn skeptical and make sure that they are vetted. And that is a process that happens if someone is a refugee or if someone is applying for immigration.
It's so much. There's so much process that already exists.
Oh, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And even though to this point it still is in legal limbo, the Supreme Court actually canceled its hearing on the last challenge because they revised it. And that seems to be the administration's game plan, is to constantly change the rules to be able to enact these measures that have immediate effects on individual human lives. And you can almost, I think, view it as a collective punishment, just saying that anyone from this area is by default bad and evil. And that has real effects. One thing that I read quickly before we started was a woman who has a relative in one of these banned countries who is a genetic match for a transplant. But because of the ban, sorry, you know, they're evil and bad by definition. Now, I think it's likely if it gets attention, that individual case, they'll say, oh, yes, you're right. You know, we're good people. We'll let your person through so you can live. But how many other cases are there, and not even that extreme, that will hurt individuals for no good reason other than an unreasonable fear? So that's the travel ban, and we might be hearing more about that soon.
Wow. Gosh.
So, yes.
All right, Storm. Here is my suggestion for both of us, which is we could take an hour, even 45 minutes, to fix the one thing in our house that always annoys us that we never fix. Like, I will definitely go for months having, like, a burned-out light bulb or a loose knob on a dresser drawer. You know what I'm talking about?
I sure do. I'm laughing because the first thought that popped to mind is I'd fix my damn self. But, you know, I do know. Is there a specific thing in your house that I guess you're new to your place, so you haven't been there long enough for there to be things that vex?
I'm mid-houses right now. I have not put away my clothes since the last time I went on tour. So my floor is kind of just an amalgam of dirty and clean clothes, which is really inconvenient and would not take that long to fix. So maybe I should do that.
Well, so for you, it's really the pursuit of some semblance of a normal life routine to reestablish that, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, my life would be faster if I just had a bunch of clean shirts instead of a pile of mystery, kind of a Cthulhu-like unknowable mass that I had to guess a shirt out of. It would be a lot easier if I didn't do that to myself.
You know,
I think we all have stuff like
actually,
that.
I'll say that's actually part, actually addresses both things, fixing myself and one of my particular bugaboos is I can generally gauge my mental state by how much unfolded and put away laundry I've left on my dresser. If I've really been dragging, there'll be 4 feet high stacked to the ceiling of socks and shirts and who knows what else. And when I've got my shit together, then it's very clean and tidy. But I will say the thing that I absolutely have to get around to is I still haven't finished my damned landscaping.
Do you still have your rocks everywhere?
Yeah, part of it is that I ordered like 2 tons too many of stone dust, which isn't...
Oh, no.
You can't make a wall out of stone dust. I mean, you could if you had, I guess, resins that you can bind it into creating some sort of stone dust rock. Mm. But I don't have that, or the technology, or time. But yeah, I have this stuff in my driveway, and it's just sitting there like this very sad monument to my own inability to finish large projects sometimes. But I got reasons for it. You know, I injured myself a little bit, and mosquitoes back there are horrible. But yes, I'm gonna take care of that 1 hour at a time.
Yeah. I wanted to add to the laundry thing that we should all throw away all the socks that have holes in them or fix them.
Yes.
Because I have so many and I rediscover them every time. And then I'm like, oh, but then I put them on anyway because
it's so liberating. I started doing that a couple of years ago. And now when I see one unmatched sock, I'm like, well, I don't care. You know, I'll keep that around and I'll pair it with a sock that kind of matches it. I'm not going to wear that with my tuxedo when I accept my Hoopajoop award. Hoopajoop.
Yeah, when is that, by the way?
It's sort of it's like the shmoo, a creature that morphs into whatever it needs to be. So,
okay.
Maybe after your hour of whatever it is you do that helps the world and or makes you feel good, you know, you would get a Hoopajoop for the particular thing you're doing.
Yeah, nice. Congrats. Yeah.
Thank you. And you too, because you're going to establish that regularity and you're going to get your laundry in order as well.
All right. What else do we have?
This is a quick one because it's so big in the news, especially if you watch Fox News, which I do not. And it's just to mention, because it's a very big thing that's happening. This is for posterity. This is nuclear chicken pick and fight. And this is Trump continues to kick the hornet's nest that is North Korea. He's taken some toe jabs at Iran, all under the guise of, you know, this is what big tough country does to fix, make good right. But, of course, it's simply destabilizing things. And in my estimation, it's a very real thing, but also a distraction from everything else that's very important. So that's I don't feel there's any need to dwell on that. I think there is real danger to it, but that there's really, really not much to be done other than putting a muzzle on the dog that is Trump. But we'll see how that goes. That has to do with the next item. Do you have an hour's worth of offset?
Sure, I have a quick one, which is walk around your neighborhood and look up at the houses you don't usually look at. I feel like I lived in my last house for 2 years, and every time I walked around the neighborhood, I always just looked straight ahead. And then I started to look left and right at times when I didn't usually look left and right, and I saw all these houses, and they were cool. Well, and just different things that you don't notice
usually. That's terrific, and that kind of couples with contacting a friend maybe you haven't talked with in a while about being present, which is something.
Yeah, I set my phone background to an inspirational image that says, allow yourself to be where you are.
Yeah.
So I'm real into being where you are right now.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm kind of the worst at that. I live very much in my head most of the time.
Me too.
And it is great. Because it changes your mind for the better when you just allow what's around you to be around. Soak in the world. It's right there. All right. This next one is, are you ready for the next one?
I think
so. This is the last newsy thing. And of course there's always a parade of horribles going on. I don't have any icky spiders this week. There aren't a lot of particular terrible things happening. This is under Mueller time and election no goodery. And this, I believe, is a lot of why the administration and Trump might want to send up a lot of chaff, is that, as I say almost every week, the special prosecutor... shoot. Ha! I've lost his first name. Mueller, you know, the guy.
Friend, the special prosecutor.
My close pal, Mueller. His investigation continues apace, and more is coming out about this little breadcrumbs that kind of lead to where they might be going, to mix a metaphor. But they've really been gunning on this guy, Paul Manafort, who, as described before, had been the head of the Trump campaign. No one to this point really understands how or why that happened. Prior to that, he'd basically been in the seamy underbelly of politics, backing up dictatorships in various parts of the world, shilling for Ukrainian interests that were tied to Russia and Putin. And it's believed that he has a lot of ties there. And the news that is trickling out now is that Manafort had been under surveillance both before and after the election. And you start to connect the dots of what's being put out there. And as Trump campaign chairman, it's come out that Manafort had offered to give a Russian oligarch with ties to Putin campaign updates. This is
cool.
Yeah, which
cool.
Is pretty wacky.
Great.
They can't say at this point if they took him up on that offer. And then another little curious thing is that, oh, where did it go? They're finding that this whole Facebook thing, you may have seen that Facebook has been in the news in connection with this, and they're coming under fire.
Yeah.
So what's come out now, or what has been leaked out, however this information is out there, is that the Russians conducted a very targeted and precise Facebook campaign. They still don't know exactly how much money they spent. That's what they're investigating, I think. But they've determined that, or they seem to have determined that it was all calibrated to micro-influence people in these key areas and states. And the reason why this could be a big deal is that this was on, I think, Maddow last night, that the odds that the Russians would have such a sophisticated knowledge of Americans, these American states, the politics, the micro politics, to be able to do that targeting, that seems a little far-fetched. But if, say, they did have an ongoing relationship through, I don't know, maybe Paul Manafort, maybe Flynn, maybe others, don't know. It's all in the ether right now, and that's what I think they're trying to figure out. That basically, for a military analogy, sorry, but if you had a laser-guided munition that you had someone on the ground here in the U.S. painting the target, and then the Russians with the munitions, in this case the information weapon, weaponized Facebook, of hitting that target with great precision and expending a lot of their resources in the form of personnel to run these bots, to actively be where they're told they need to be. And this may have been just one of the methods that they were using to influence the election. And I won't get into some of the others, because to say them now without any evidence will sound kooky. But these are the trails that are becoming a bit Twilight Zone. And just a couple more items tied in with this, because it really is, I believe, the biggest thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
High-up administration officials, most notably Jared Kushner, have been found to be using private email accounts to conduct government business, which is terrible on several levels. Of course, that was the big bugaboo that they were painting Hillary Clinton with, and that they're just shrugging it off. But, and of course, just as with Hillary Clinton, in and of itself, I don't believe that is a hangable offense. But when you look at the pattern of behavior and the secretiveness and the lying of this administration, they don't get the benefit of the doubt to say, oh, yeah, I'm sure that was all innocent, and that it's more likely that they were looking to circumvent accountability in order to do no good, or things that would outrage the public for sure if they were known and subject to FOIA requests. And then the last one is that there's been an increasing volume of requests for information from the White House from Mueller and his team, and that they're being bucked, that the White House has not been complying. So it's been ratcheting up for a while, but it's pretty clear that this continues to march ahead, and the picture is getting clearer, and it's not going to be pretty. So that's the last news thing. It's not a single thing. And it is a lot of things that add together, and there will be no doubt be more on that later. So what's something really good that one could do in an hour's time?
Okay. I was trying to think of a creative endeavor that people could do that might be fun, that would give you some creative satisfaction. It might be fun for somebody else to participate in it as well. So I thought maybe you could write yourself a little just the text of a children's book or a short story about a pet you used to have or used to know.
Oh, wow.
Do you have a pet that you think, or current pet that you think would be a good children's book with a lesson or funny story, Storm?
Yeah, I would say we had a pair of cats that Mrs. Storm and I adopted when early on in our relationship. And one of them was just batshit crazy. But frankly scared the heck out of me for a long time, but ended up being a very, in his own way, very loving creature. And when it was finally time for us to let him go, that I was a wreck, just because it's the tough cases where you really have to work at it that really grip your heart.
Yeah.
And that there could be a turnaround like that, to have a being in your life that initially you think there's no way this is going to work. But then to, through a lot of work, blood, sweat, and tears, end up with something that's terrific for everyone involved.
Sounds like a Pixar movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me think what that would be. I was trying to think of a horrible pun based on a Pixar movie, but none leapt to mind. Do you have a particularly beloved or curious or interesting pet that you would frame in this way?
When I was a kid, we had a dog named PC that I named. I kept writing books about this dog because I wanted to be a writer.
Sure.
And she was rescued. She was like on the highway, I guess, and my family rescued her, and then she came to live with us. And the book I was writing was called How Far Is a Family?
Aww.
Yeah. I found my notebooks and my drafts when I was going through my house that I wrote when I was in whatever, fourth grade or something.
Yeah.
I was real into that dog.
Reboot that. Did TC stand for anything, or did you just think it sounded cool?
Sure did stand for something, Storm. It stood for Princess Priscilla Christina Louisa Weber III.
Of course it did. The usual.
Yeah.
It's second most popular after Fido.
Yeah. I wanted to name her PC because my family was a Mac family and I really wanted a PC. I thought that was the cool thing. And then my mom used to say Louise as everybody's middle name, even though it wasn't our middle name. So I made it her middle name.
I think there's a lot of awesome in that story, but I think the best part is your firm belief, clearly, that PC was the cool platform. So,
yeah, I got one eventually, and it died of viruses almost immediately after being plugged into the internet.
Yeah, they at least,
because I was a kid and no one in my family knew how to do
it. Yeah, yeah. There's certain care and feeding that is required of PCs,
especially in the Napster era of my youth.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. And I'd say that it's gotten much better on the PC front anymore. They've got their
got their
stuff together. Well, that's awesome.
That's all for news. We made it through.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
Yay.
Wasn't too bad.
Yay.
I still don't feel like this crap is normal, so that's good. I still get very angry.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but this past week there have been several times where I couldn't function because I was so angry with things that were happening.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I still feel that way, and part of it is developing the mechanisms to deal, to acknowledge that you feel that way, but then, you know, not get bogged down. I don't know. Do you still get that kind of reaction?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I'm very easy to paralyze with despair. It's my superpower weakness. I don't think I've gotten to the point where I feel like this is normal. I feel like the feelings feel familiar. The feelings of rage and despair,
mm-hmm.
And just like kind of disbelief and frustration. I feel like I need to get my disbelief channeled into something more productive, because I still, every time the president does something that just doesn't make any gosh darn sense, I'm like, what? But I know it's it makes a certain kind of sense, and I should be less surprised.
Yeah. I guess it's sort of like speaking of music production, compressors are something that are are something that I think your average folk, it's a mystery even if they know about them, but it's a technique, a device or a plugin that helps shape sound, basically knock out the highs and lows, keep things from spiking. And I feel like that's what you have to have in your brain, is something that when these things come around, that they register with you. You're not ignoring them, pretending they're not there, or minimizing to the point where it just becomes normal, but that you have this compressor that knocks out the most terrible part of it and says, yeah, that's there, but we're not going to allow that to hit our emotional ears quite so hard. And so too with every dimension of what comes at you. So you experience it,
yeah,
but that it doesn't ruin the recording that is your mental state.
Yeah, you don't compress it too much to where you don't feel anything anymore.
Yes.
But you compress it enough that you can absorb it.
That's right.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, on that metaphor, let's take a little break and then come back and talk about some more things.
The concept of zero is ancient, but it wasn't always around. Right?
You're telling me, Storm. You don't have to tell me about the concept of zero. I'm all over
it. Oh, my gosh. Given the chance, you just start going on and on about zero. And zero has been great for a long time and, frankly, didn't need much amendment. But it turns out that there's an even better zero.
That's right.
And it comes from our sponsor, Fax Zero.
FaxZero.com is a wonderful website where you can send free faxes to anyone in the U.S. and Canada, including your elected representatives. And you could even tell them about how great the concept of zero is and where it was invented and discussed.
Now, I know what you're saying right now. You're listening to this and saying, yeah. Well, can I send a fax to the people who invented the concept zero? No, of course you can't. But you know what?
No, they're dead. They're zero.
They're dead. And they can't influence what's happening in the United States today. Well, not,
I wish they could.
Not more than the mere fact that we use their zero. But
right.
They do not play into the current situation here and now. But if you simply fax the people who represent you, you know what? That fax is going to get through when phone calls don't.
So go on over 5 faxes a day. That's 5 more than zero. Up to 3 pages each, that's 3 more than zero. Those are free. And you could go all out if you want. You can send more for $1.99 per fax beyond that. I sometimes have been finding myself in the position of using faxes while changing my legal name because I got married and applying for apartments because everyone who does anything important or bureaucratic is from the past.
That's fantastic. It's ancient. It's now. It's hip. It's traditional. It's modern way to live. Thank you, FaxZero.com.
Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
So, Storm, you told me on Slack earlier that you have an anecdote you would like to share, and I would like very much to listen to your anecdote at this time.
Yeah, so I'll try to do this concisely. It's not quite as well defined as what I talked about last week.
It's okay. But we can be wild and off the chain with our anecdotes. It's okay. We don't have a boss.
Oh, sure. And it's still a chain. It's just a fuzzier chain. It's like...
Okay.
It's like a chain, but there's kind of felt on some of the links.
All right, so get on that felt chain.
Yeah, and it harks back to very early on. How do you talk with and reach people that disagree with you, especially those that maybe voted for Trump?
Mm-hmm.
And I had exactly this kind of exchange this past weekend. And this is someone I've known for a very long time and who I know as one of the kindest, most caring, involved people. They do a lot of work with outreach organizations of various sorts. And I was, I wouldn't say I was completely surprised when I heard that they had voted for Trump. But I still was. And there were several of us around a brunch table having this conversation. And it was clear that they felt sheepish about it. It wasn't as clear, and I never asked if they either regretted it or if they support the president and what the administration is doing. And the reason that she gave unsolicited, I was not being confrontational at all. I never felt I had to be.
Yeah.
Was that they voted for Trump because they didn't like Hillary. And
yeah.
You hear that so much. And we did discuss about it some. And the thing is, the story shifted about why that was. At first, it was all just the mixed bag of talking points. And any time that you knock down the irrationality of one, up crop to the next one. And it was clear as a regurgitation. It's like this, like white blood cells surround a contagion and smother it out and don't allow it to get into the core so that the mechanism can continue to do its damage. And I'm not saying she is doing damage directly, but that this machine that is advancing these policies that harm so many people can advance. So
yeah,
that was the first part of it. But they really got angry. I had brought up, because it was very fresh, the whole thing about the NFL players. And wow, their eyes just lit up at that. And they,
interesting.
Yes, they took great umbrage at disrespecting the flag and the country. And then it got into flag burning, at which point I said, so you get angry with that. Well, yes, it's the country. And you don't feel like there's some reason that someone might feel compelled to burn a flag. And I tried to walk through it that, well, some people feel like they're all of the mechanisms by which one can be heard are not being heard, and that is provocative. And that personally, you know, I would likely not burn a flag. I actually still believe in the best of what this country can be and feel like those people who do want to improve things in that way might take the flag back for all people and not have it be this symbol that increasingly is trotted out by those who want to exclude. I would rather see it become the symbol it should be for all people. And
yeah.
Then I asked flat out, so do you believe that it should be illegal and punishable to burn the flag? And only after one beat, they said, yeah. And that kind of floored me. In part
yeah.
because of how I know this person, and it just made me think, how do we get here? And I ended up more or less doing a very simplified version of what Black Lives Matter is about.
Oh yeah,
because it's kind of easy to forget that under all of this, taking the knee at the football games is tied with the central tenet of Black Lives Matter, which is police brutality that is way disproportionately aimed at people of color. And that if you're a person of color, that it's a different world for you because of that and other things. And that this sort of protest, to say that's not patriotic and to marginalize that way, is just not... I didn't say this, but it is not American, and that this country, one of its greatest innovations was a political process that eschewed the traditional types of repression that existed in monarchies and this absolute power. And that if you start to do things like that, banning the flag and even questioning the patriotism of people who are trying to share their voices, what are you left with? You know, you're left with all the other systems that are out there that I believe are terrible paths, and that do lead to systemic abuse and subjugation and a lot of other terrible things. So the turn on this was out of nowhere. They told an anecdote from when they were traveling in, I think, the late 50s, down from the north, down into the south, and in Washington, D.C., on the train, they added rail cars that were older, not as well maintained, and that anyone who was a person of color was required to get onto those rail cars. And the person I know observed that they felt horrible about that and didn't understand it. Like they did not live in the South or somewhere that had racial segregation and the traces of Jim Crow. And it really struck me that it was not in context that this anecdote was told. But I think what it was kind of a recognition that I'm not racist is I think what they were saying, and that I do believe that other people have the same rights, and that I think how they were feeling and what they are thinking, it's almost not rational trying to square who you believe you are as a person and questioning your own views. And I believe weighed against the fear that you see out there of people feeling like, you know, if we take those people at their word that change needs to happen, that the tables will just be turned and I'm going to be the one who has the boot on their head. So that's the anecdote. It's not really any conclusions there, but it's one of the few encounters I've had of late where I was able to engage in an entirely civil way with someone who had very different views. So I guess the conclusion is that, you know, if there are people, I wouldn't say go up to strangers and start talking like this. I would not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that if you do have an opportunity, do so, especially if you feel like you do have a command of how you feel and that you can have that discussion in a civil way. I don't know. I don't know if I really reached them, if it will change their opinions or behavior, but I know that I at least gave them something to think about.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, maybe right now that person is thinking about this conversation like you were thinking about this conversation, and at least learn something about how you think.
Yes, for sure. You know, I never, ever, laid a label, said anything that could reasonably be viewed as a judgment, but more explaining either how I feel, but even more than that, getting behind, okay, you have a reaction to this thing, flag burning. Well, let's look behind it, behind the outrage. And what's behind it? And part of it was doing a lot of agreeing, like saying that, yeah, you know, I don't like it when people burn flags either. I don't. We fly one in front of our house all the time. But at the same time, I have no problem with someone doing it. So I think that can be applied in a larger way, too.
Yeah. Well, Storm, we've got to wrap up this week. Would you like to tell us some serving suggestions that we can all take into the world with us?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some good and quickens. Verify your voting registration status. Or if you're not registered, gosh darn it, do it if you are a U.S. citizen. Especially if you live in a red state, because there are shenanigans happening. There are states where they are looking at doing things like purging rolls. If you haven't voted in a while, well, we're just going to knock you off of there. Those sort of things are starting to percolate. So check that status, and it's not just a one-time thing, unfortunately. Or if you're in Virginia, it's one of two states that have statewide elections, and that's coming up on November 7th. And you have to be registered to vote 22 days prior. So you still have a couple of weeks to register. There's going to be a lot of more money pouring into Virginia because it's really the only competitive gubernatorial race out there. So gear up for that. So that's one thing you can do.
Yeah, register to vote.
Yeah, do it. That's the very heart of things. And I'm now optimistic that, you know, that this can be solved through the ballot box, so long as we protect the integrity of the voting system. The second one, and this comes from Pat Rothfuss's activism newsletter. We'll post a link to that. DACA, that is still in limbo. Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, that the legislation has been under attack. There is allegedly an agreement between the administration, President Trump, and Democrats to provide relief. But there is a link for calling your electeds to push for the Bridge Act in the House and the Dream Act in the Senate, which basically backstop the guarantees of the Dream Act. So that's a great one. And take a walk. You know, take a walk. Maybe pay attention to the houses in your neighborhood you didn't before. So
yeah,
it's good.
You might see a cat in a window that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, that could be your new friend.
Or your new children's book subject.
That's right. There could be a whole world behind those whiskers.
Huh. A whisker world. Yay. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. I want to thank Lena on Twitter for talking to us, Jeremy Kloss for your interaction. We have a new follower, Michael Wright. That's on So What Do We Do Pod on Twitter. We've also got a Facebook group where we've been talking about the articles that Storm mentioned last week. And we've got a website, sowhatdowedopod.com, where you can check us out. So thank you, everybody, for chatting with us. I wanted to say that my other podcast, Gosh Darn Fiasco, came back this week.
Hey!
So put that in your pod machine and check out the episode we recorded on the Joko Cruise, Heard of It, with Gail Simone and Jackie Cation, which is real weird and wonderful.
That sounds like the best. So, yeah, chug that. And thank you, Angel Azer. Said it before, and I'm going to say it again in the future. It's just a delight to chew things over with you like this.
This is a fun thing I do in an hour that makes me feel good. We did it. Storm. All right, everybody. Goodbye. Have a wonderful day. We believe in you.
Yep.